Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
The Bible, Psalms chapter 119. This is a passage of Scripture familiar to me. I certainly go to it often. I use this in my prayer time sometimes just to ask God for these things specifically. And as I was praying this week, He began to press upon my heart the need to share a couple of these verses, a few actually. I don't know if you've ever paid attention to Psalms 119, but it's a collection of poems, each one being 8 verses long. And it goes for quite some ways. If you set in to read Psalms 119, it's 176 verses, and each 8 verse section is a different area, and so it's certainly full of instruction. Psalms chapter 119, we're going to begin at verse number 25. Verse number 25. I'm just going to read the first 3 verses. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heard me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Father, open our heart now to this truth. Help us every day to be of a teachable spirit. Help us to desire more than the treasures of this world, to earnestly, humbly desire your word. We trust that you will make us to walk in the way of your precepts. We trust you for this power, for only you have it. As we ask in Jesus' name, amen. I'll ask that you'd pray for me. I want to always obey God in His direction, and sometimes I get in the way of that. And I found that the Holy Spirit is really the only guide we have. If we trust our minds, we'll quickly be in the ditch. But with the Spirit of God, it's always right. When I look back over a congregation like this, I certainly don't know anyone's heart. And there are obviously times when I look back and I think about you wonderful precious people, and I think to myself, I wonder if anybody is really like me. The truth is we're all more like one another than we suspect. The enemy likes to tell us we're unique in a bad way. We're unique and nobody is as bad as we are. But I'm encouraged when I read God's word. Because what I find in there are not a bunch of people that live in a way that would remove all chance or hope of me ever getting there, but I read about people that just had problems. And there's a bunch of them didn't know what to do with them. They didn't know how to get out of the trouble they was in. And when I read it, I find that I'm encouraged. Not that they struggled, but just the fact that I'm not the only one that struggles. These three verses, I believe, are, in essence, ought to be our heart. At the place in your life, and I've met people like this, and it's a sad condition, but if you ever get to the place in your life that you want to just stop learning or become unteachable, you'll find yourself in a hard place with God. Because as far as I'm concerned, till we leave this world, His Word has a responsibility to grow in our hearts in knowing the Word of God and its unfathomable depths. There's never a place that we could ever exhaust our understanding of God and His holy Word. David understood this. And certainly as he penned these under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this particular section or poem we find at the 25th verse in Psalms 119 was a powerful reminder of the condition that David often admitted freely that he had got himself into. And he says it very graphically here. He says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." Now, that's not a term. That's not a term we use with one another, right? You ask somebody, "How you doing?" You don't expect them to say, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust today," right? It's for most of us, it goes right over our head. The concept, the understanding of what it was he was saying. But I want you to take a picture, and in your mind, I want you to imagine that a person that is so broken. A person that is so broken that they are laying literally in the dirt, face down, breathing the dust. Not willing or not able even to raise their heads or to look around or to find hope or anything else. They are so broken and so hurting and so struggling in that to get to God that they literally believe themselves. Their soul is as low as it can go. Have you ever been there? I know a lot of people that get there, and I would have to say that I'm the only one I can speak truly about. But I get there at times when it feels like that I don't know which way to go, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to fix it, or I don't know how to help, and I don't know what to pray. And at times we find ourselves simply in despair, and we cry out unto God as David was here, and we say, "My soul is in the dust. I'm at the lowest point, and I need you, Lord, to hear me. I need you to rescue me." He confesses this truth and he says to God, he says, "I'm as low as I can be. My heart is broken." But may I say to you today that when you get into this place, you're going to find help. This is where God works. This is where the Holy Spirit does his best work in you and I, is when we truly allow ourselves to become broken and we shed ourselves from the distractions of this world and we recognize that our greatest need is God. "I'm as low as I can be," he said. "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." But then he makes this clear statement. He says, "Quicken thou me according to thy word." Right? What's he praying? A prayer that we've all prayed. He's saying, "God, help me. God, rescue me. God, deliver me. God, I am at this point and I need you to reach down and to raise me up." He's confessing in this very truth that he doesn't have the ability to lift himself up, right? You might hear it as some would preach it today. Maybe a claim it and name it, or a health and wealth or a prosperity gospel. May I say to you today that I get into the place where I recognize that I'm broken and poor, and that's when I see the need of God greatest in my life. But friend, when you get broken, you'll find that it's of a broken heart and a contrite spirit that God responds to. That's the ones that he comes to. When we find ourselves destitute of every other resource, you'll find that God is faithful. "I'm at the lowest point I can be. My soul cleaves unto the dust." Verse number 28, he would go on to say, "My soul melts for heaviness." But I think I can preach that on another day.
I think it suffices us tonight just to focus on that place in time when spiritually we get to that realization that I can't do anything but cry out unto God. How many are in nursing homes right now that wish there was a way out? How many are in a hospital bed with a terminal illness that recognize in their own heart and their mind that there's no cure for what I've got? How many are facing a divorce and there doesn't seem to be any way for reparation in their own home or their marriage? How many are watching the children die of something that they cannot reverse or make better? How many have found themselves at the end of the way when they don't know what to do and they don't know how to do it, and they simply recognize that, God, you're going to have to save me? As I thought of this, and as I tried to listen this morning as the Spirit was speaking, I began to picture in my mind a sheep. And he'll speak to this a little more clearly later, but a sheep in the middle of a wilderness, and in the wilderness there's just hundreds of wolves and predators, and this one little sheep is standing there, and in my mind it's the only thing I could see. And as that sheep was just standing there, head down, it seemed that it just didn't know what else to do. It knew there was danger out there, but it wasn't looking around. It wasn't ready to flee. It was just there. And then the next thing in my mind I saw was a shepherd. And when the shepherd came, the situation became totally different. You see, regardless of the danger out there, regardless of what it is that is against you and I, regardless of the forces of evil, may I say to you that when the shepherd comes on the scene, he can make me live. He can save me. He can deliver me. He can quicken me and lift me up. What the psalmist said was, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. He said, God, I feel like I'm at my last breath here spiritually. What I need you to do is to quicken me. Quicken me how? Quicken me according to what you've said. How many times would you confess tonight that you've been resurrected spiritually just by a simple truth that was brought back to your remembrance? How many times has the Word of God saved you? May I say to you today, it saves me more than once every day. You say, is it important to know the Word of God? Here's what I would advise you. Know it, memorize it, and bring it into you as if it was food and meat. Bring it into your heart and your mind that when those times come and you don't know what to do and you find your soul cleaving unto the dust, there is something in you that has the power to raise you up. It's the Word of God that has that power. Oh, bless His name. When Jesus arrived, we preached on this last week. When Jesus arrived in Bethany, and Martha came out there and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother, he wouldn't have died. Do you know why she said that? Because she recognized in the words of Jesus Christ was the power to heal her brother. I thought about that. You know, when God speaks, something always happens. Here the psalmist is admitting that he don't know how he's getting out of this. He don't know how he's going to get up. He don't know what's going to happen. He is confessing that he is at his wit's end, that he spiritually was on the end of the rope, and he simply admits that, God, by your words, you're going to have to raise me up. I don't know how many times the Word of God has delivered me. Literally quickened me from the dead. Jesus stepped to the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what happened? He came out of there. I want you to know, at the Word of God, it will happen. There is nothing I go through he can't rip me out of. There is nothing that he leads me into that he hadn't already worked the way out of. There is nothing that he asked me to endure or to suffer or to be a part of. Friend, that God has ever abandoned me in. What the psalmist was saying was, God, I'm at the bottom here. I need you to save me. I need you to deliver me, quicken me, raise me up according to your word. Now, the essence of this is the very fact that David believed his word was effective. Now, that's simply the concept of faith. The Bible said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Now, what David said was, is he said, I don't need you to do it according to how the world wants it. I'm not asking you to give me this or to do that. I'm not praying that I have this in the bank or that this is of my ass. No, what he's saying is, Lord, according to your word, I need you to quicken me, to deliver me, to save me out of this condition that I'm in. Now, you may be sitting here tonight and your belly's full. When I come in this afternoon, I turned the heat up. Right? Just so you'd be more comfortable when you came in. The benches are padded, so right now, unless I preach another hour and a half, you're probably fairly comfortable. And you know what? It's when we're in the warm sunshine that we begin to doze off. You set a man in the fire, and he won't go to sleep on you. You put him in a condition where he's going underwater and about to drown. He won't be dozing off on you. No, there's a lot of people that have done fell plumb asleep. They have checked out on God. They have nodded off and they're asleep right now. You know what? They don't know they're asleep.
That's right. Yeah.
When you wake up in the morning, what you'll realize is I didn't know I was asleep. Right? When you're asleep, you don't know you're asleep. All you know is just you wake up. You look over and say, was I asleep? Tell me, yeah, you've been asleep for a while. David was willing to admit. He said, God, I'm in a place right here that I can't get out of. Boy, spiritual honesty is what's missing most of the time. Right? Some of you even go home and try to fool God. Amen. I know you try to fool him here, but you'll go home and try to fool God, right? When ain't nobody else looking. Only God's the one looking, and you know he knows the truth. And yet we act like we've got it all together, God. No, I don't need anything today. Thank you. I'm doing just fine. But the truth is we're a miserable mess. We have problems on every hand. We don't know how to fix it. We don't know how to do it. And we need God to help us. We need to be honest spiritually long enough that we can get to a place that we can learn and grow up in the Word of God and know that by His powerful Word, we're going to be free. People are missing it. Spiritually dishonest. They're not willing to admit that truthfully their spiritual lives are not a witness to anybody in the world, much less people in their own body of the church. Now, I'm not pointing any fingers. What I'm saying is that spiritual honesty is about us being honest with ourselves. Right? It's not you I'm trying to get right with. It's him. What David was willing to admit is that he said, I've got myself into a place that I'm so low I can't get up. I can't get up from here, God. You're going to have to quicken me according to your word. Now let me be clear. You're good, faithful people. But let me remind you of something. When he stepped out on the abyss and he said, let there be light, I can assure you of one thing, there was light. When my God speaks, there is something that occurs every time that the Father speaks. Something will happen. And what David understood and believed in faith is that, God, I need you right now to save me, to deliver me. And I also understand that it's your word that will do it. When you say it, it will happen. Martha was there. Right? She said, Lord, if you'd have been here, all you'd had done was say, Lazarus, be healed, and he'd have been healed. That was true. Right? She understood. She understood the concept that the word of Christ had power. And he said, Martha, your brother's going to rise again. She said, I know he'll rise again at the resurrection at the last day. He said, Martha, I am that resurrection. I am that resurrection. The very thing you say you believe in, that's me. And he stepped up to the tomb and he spoke the words. And Lazarus come crawling out of there or stumbling out of there wrapped up like a mummy. Right? Jesus said, loose him. Let him go. Why? Because he was dead and now he's not. You say, how did he get alive? Because he spoke the word. I don't know where we get the concept that he's somehow different today than he was when he was with Lazarus. It's the same God. It's the same one. And when he speaks into my life, he quickens me to the point that I once was here, and he raises me up according to his word. The effectiveness and the power of the word of God is often in our own minds where we stumble. We stumble because we simply do not believe its power and its efficacy. We don't understand, or we, at least in concept, we do. And yet when it comes to application, we absolutely miss the boat. His word has power of itself. It won't go out void. When it goes out, he said, it will return. I don't know how many times that I leave this place with my tail between my legs, disappointed, discouraged, disillusioned because it didn't happen. Listen, I'm the world's worst about not believing what God said. See, the truth is the truth, whether I believe it or don't believe it. It's still according to his word. And if his word says it, that's what it means. And David understood that. He recognized. He said, I'm in a place I can't help myself. But he knew enough to pray. He knew enough to confess unto God, you're going to have to lift me up. You're going to have to spiritually quicken me and bring me up out of this condition that I am. He said, I'm telling you right now, I need you according to your word. I need you to speak into my life and help me. Now, let's get through these next two verses. David goes through some very important prerequisites to this deliverance. And as I was thinking about preaching the whole eight verses, it occurred to me there's enough in these three to keep us going for a while. David recognized that there was a process that was necessary for him to go through in order to get to the place he needed to be. Now, what he understood was is where he needed to be. How many would say that there have been times in my life that I have experienced the glory of God, made to sit in a heavenly place, and that's where I want to be spiritually? Amen. It's every time that I'd like to come in here and just shout the house down. But it ain't every time it happens. But I'd like to, right? That's where I'd like to be. I'd like to be in a place so heavenly that the glory makes us all shine. Amen. We go out of this place, they're trying to put a veil over us because we're so obnoxious. We're so filled with the glory of God that they can't stand us. I'd like to get in that place, but listen to me. What David understood was that you don't just flip a switch to get holy. You don't just flip a switch to get righteous and to get in the place where God can truly lift you up. It's a process we all have to go through. And I'll tell you where it starts. It's with brokenness. People discount the brokenness, right? They want the gospel except the part that speaks about a cross and carrying it. They want the gospel as long as it didn't say anything about suffering. But according to Jesus, he said, if you're going to be my disciple, he said, take up your cross. I don't know where people got the idea that somehow a cross is comfortable. Yeah. You misunderstood. There ain't anything about the cross that is meant to represent comfort. It was an instrument of torture and pain. It was a picture of suffering And Jesus said it. If you're going to be my disciple, he said, get your cross. Take it up. And he said, follow me. Now, I don't know where in the world Christians have come up with the idea that what it means to be a Christian is to be happy and rich. That's as far from the truth. That's as close to a lie from hell as has ever been. That is the worst thing that you could tell somebody, is that you're only holy when you get rich and happy. Jesus never ever said that. As a matter of fact, what he said is the richest will be the poorest. I read what old Paul told Timothy. He said, the love of money, he said, it's the root of all evil. He said, I'll tell you right now, if you're chasing after that, you're wasting your time spiritually, because you'll never be able to chase after money and God at the same time. It's two different directions. They are absolutely on the opposite end of the spectrum. If what you're looking for is comfort, if what you're looking for is somehow just to ease through life without any bumps or struggles, I want you to know that that ain't the Christian life. I don't find it in the Word of God. What I find is that every time I need him, he's there. But there is struggle and there is hardship and there is need all the time. And David was willing to admit the truth. He said that I'm down and I can't even get myself up. He said, but Lord, he said, quicken me. Save me, God, according to your word. Now, I want you to see what he said in the next verse. Verse number 26, he said, for I have declared my ways. Huh? Oh, how people have got so ashamed to repent. It's as if it's a hardship for people to go to God and say, I'm so sorry, and mean it. I'm so sorry. Hey, man, you know, it's one thing. You, one of your kids hit socks the other one. You say, now you tell him you're sorry. Right? That was just about as worth as it telling them to go raise the flag on the mailbox, right? They told them, but did they mean it? No. And we're worse than that when it comes to God. We won't even tell him. But what we're missing is the fact that his conviction has not found its mark. What we're missing is the fact that the Holy Spirit has not produced within us the peaceable fruit of righteousness through the chastening hand of God. We ain't got to the place that our soul is cleaving to the dust. You say, you know, I don't know if I want to sign up for that. Well, if you've been born again too late, you done signed up. And I can assure you this, it's coming. What you need to be is spiritually honest and recognize that when you find yourself face down in the dust and you can't get up, there is likely repentance that is necessary. At least I found that to be always the case with me. You see, there's never been a day in my life that I couldn't say, Lord, forgive me, right? And mean it, right? Because there could be one thing or a thousand things that I failed to do or did that didn't line up with his perfect will. Help me. God, help me. Help me. He said, Lord, he said, I have declared unto you my ways. You know, if I'm honest about my ways, it's typically a message. It's a conversation about repentance. That's what it is. If I'm honest about my ways, right? Be honest for just a minute in your own mind. How much time do you give to God every week? How much time do you seek after him as if he was the greatest love of your life? How many times do you open his word and begin to seek the presence of God through the pages of his holy writ? How many times have you bowed on your knees and wept, not for yourself, but for the need of someone else and the condition of a body that is broken and defiled by this word? How many times have we yielded ourselves to the power of the Almighty God? And compare that with how many times we fed the flesh. And we comforted the flesh. It's a shame, right? Truly. We'd rather read something written by somebody that had no idea who God even is than we would to pick up his holy word and read it. Now that's just the truth. That's how weak our flesh is. And yet we stumble along as if we're just God's gift to Christianity. All the while, people are on the outside looking in saying, huh, what? Is that what it is? I can't even get a straight answer from that person how to be saved. Because they're so messed up in the world that their witness and their testimony has been brought to a point that it's ineffective and useless. The Apostle Paul warned, he said, there's many that have become useless. He said, they become a disgrace to God, period, because they have gone another way. What David understood was, as he said, my recovery is going to be based on my honesty with God. Getting up out of this place where my soul is in the dust, spiritually, getting up out of this place, I can't do it. Be honest, you can't do it spiritually. Now, if it's about the flesh, I just got up. But I'm talking about the spirit. Some of you are crippled in the spirit and you can't get up spiritually. That takes help. That takes someone bigger than you. Someone who is spirit, right? That's what the Bible said. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Spiritually, what David understood was, is this process has to begin with me telling him, confessing to him the error of my ways. Now the Apostle Paul said, he said, I'm not happy because you repented or because you had to repent. He said, I'm not happy that you sorrowed under repent. He said, I'm just happy that it led you to repent. Amen. That's right. And that's where they'd got when he wrote to them 2 Corinthians. Right? Because he had scolded them. The Apostle Paul had scolded them. He said, nuh-uh, it don't work that way. You can't be sleeping with your stepmother and all this. No, it does not work that way. And he scolded the church and he brought them to the place that they understood their sin before God. And when they had seen it, they began to sorrow in their heart. Where's the godly sorrow today? Where are the people that it bothers when they sin against the holy almighty God? Where is the brokenness in our heart when we transgress against the one relationship that's been willing to save us? I contend today that the spiritual bankrupt among us would shock us if we knew the truth. What David wasn't covering up. Listen, he was the king. He'd done been there and tried covering up stuff and found out it didn't work. You can't hide it from God. By the time you think it's hid, some old bald-headed prophet will show up and say, you're the man. And you know where he found himself again? Flat down on his face, spiritually in the dust, with his soul cleaving to it. You know how he got out of that one? The same way he spoke of it, this one. The Bible said that he repented. It's a very thing that he told the man of God. He said, I've sinned. Nathan said, you're the man, David. You're the one. And you know what David did that day? He got honest with God. He said, yeah. He said, I've sinned. I've sinned grievously against God. And Nathan told him, he said, because of this sin, he said, there's payment to come. There is a suffering to come. He said, God's going to take this child that is born of you and your infidelity and your wicked lying and your murderous spirit. He said, God is going to require of you the death of that child. And the Bible said, David, he went and he got into the house of God and he began to pray and pray and pray and fasted. And the Bible said, after days and days, they finally, the child died. The Bible said that David, perceiving he was dead, the Bible said he got up. He cleaned himself up. He went and got something to eat. And he went to the house of God. They asked him, said, what in the world is this about? While the child was alive, all you did was pray and fast and weep. And now that he's dead, you've cleaned up and you're going to worship. Let me tell you something. The best thing you can ever do spiritually is to get honest with God. Tell the truth. Quit making up stuff about your spiritual grandiose opportunities and how great you are for the. What we ought to do is just tell the truth. I ain't worth keeping, God. Help me. Help me. My soul cleaves under the dust. I need you according to your word. You said you would help me. I've declared unto you, God, my ways. I've repented of my sin. And you know what David said? He said, and you heard me. Anybody know God hears you? I'm going to stop right now and I'm just going to thank you that of all the creatures in this world that can make a racket, you hear me. Thank you. You don't have to hear me. I ain't worth hearing. Oh, but I thank you that when my heart is broken and contrite, you will in no wise cast me out. Thank you, God. David said, I repented and you heard me. I know you did. You said you would. The apostle said that if we would confess our sin, that he was faithful. Bless his name. He was faithful and just to do it. To forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You say, how do you know that? According to his word. You see, that scripture alone makes me live. It rescues me. When I get to the place that I my soul cleaves unto the dust, and I remember that all I have to do is to be honest and contrite before God and say, I'm so sorry. It was me. It was me. I needed you. And his word suddenly begins to rescue me. That word that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That word that said, when you confess your sin, I will always forgive you. That word is what rescues us and makes us live. David said, you heard me when I prayed. You heard me when I declared my ways unto you. The last part of verse number 26, he said this. He said, teach me thy statutes. Let me tell you, you know, people are always, the Bible said that there was some people that were ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Right? There's people like that. Right? There's people that, like a parasite, will just join themselves to something so that they can glean from it those things that continuously inspire, encourage, or simply engross their own minds and flesh. That wasn't what David was talking about here. No. He said, Lord, he said, I've repented. I've confessed my sins, and I know you heard me. I'm in a place where I can't get up. And he said, Lord, it was my mistake that got me here. It was my fault that I'm here spiritually. But I'm going to be honest long enough, Lord, to say this. I need you to teach me. You know what? A lot of times we make wrong turns because we don't know. You ain't never been into a city and you driving down the road, right? And you're just going along, right? And where you need to go may be way over here, but you've never been there before and you simply don't know. And what David was saying was, he said, God, I'm in this place because I'm ignorant. I am ignorant spiritually, and I need you to help me. I need you to grow me up. I need you to lift me out of this place and to hear my repentant prayer and to allow me, Father, to sit at your feet and to learn how not to get here again. Now, we ain't signing up for just some kind of spiritual conference here. What David was saying was the process for him to truly learn those things of God that are life-changing. I'm talking about those things that alter the way you live every single day of your life going forward. Those times come from being on your face before God, spiritually broken, having repented of your sin and acknowledging that it is only God, but also acknowledging, God, that I don't know what to do. Only you do. If there's anything that has to be an abomination, a sickening thing to God, it is spiritual pride. Where we bounce around an entire month and never cry out unto God and say, teach me. We just cruise along as if we understand every precept and concept in the Bible. And you know what it is? It's like telling this three-year-old right here to go write a manual on how to build a rocket. And you know what he says? Okay. Okay, all right. I was just using you as an example. That's how we, how many of you are going to tell me that you understand everything this book says? Number one, you don't even know all it says, much less understand it. You've never delved into the treasures or the deepness of its presence. You've never been to the places that most of them wrote about in here was in. You've never been there. And yet we stand up, never open it up, never fall down, never ask him, as if we know it all. That's spiritual pride, and that's an abomination. Because I can tell you right now, we're absolutely the most ignorant, probably ignorant Christians that have ever lived in the history. You know why? Because we don't open his way. Let me tell you, when you go to school, they give you a textbook. And they require you to read. And they monitor your progress. And they test you. Why? To see if you learned the subject. And yet we act as if we understand every bit. Every bit of this word. We act as if somehow or another we know what it is all about. And David was honest enough to say, God, I got myself into this because of my spiritual ignorance. My fault. If I'd have listened to you, if I'd have sought you, if I'd have asked you, if I'd have studied you, if I had just went to the Word, he said, I wouldn't be in this place that I'm in right now. All right, let me close this up. He said, God, I need you to teach me. Now, there was a process to getting to the place where he was teachable. That's the hard part, is getting broken enough, contrite enough, that we surrender ourselves, body, soul, and spirit. We prostrate ourselves before the Holy God and we say, Lord, I've confessed my sin. I am desperate for you to save me according to your word. Now, teach me your statutes. Teach me this truth. Teach me this. How many believes that if you ask God to teach you, that he can actually teach you something? Right? To the God of heaven that can do anything, if you say, teach me, you reckon he can?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, David took it a step further in verse number 27. Right? Not only did he say, I want you to teach me, he said, but I want you to make me.
Yeah.
Make me to understand and to go in the way of these precepts. Not only, God, am I saying I'm ignorant and I want you to teach me, but I also want you to put your hand on me and I want you to make me go that way. I don't know about you, but that is exactly what I want him to do. I pray it a lot. I pray it a lot, and I mean, Lord, if I'm going the wrong way, stop me and make me go the right way. I don't want to go the wrong way, Terry. I know where that leads. Spiritually, I am confessing to him that I need you to teach me because I don't know it all. I can't even see it all. I can't understand it all. I can't comprehend it all. Lord, I need you to teach me your statutes and then make me to go in the way of your precepts. Make me. Make me. Now, I'm going to ask this again because it's a simple concept. How many of you believe that if you ask God to make you do something, can he make you do anything? Absolutely. If he can make the sun, what is it to him to make you do something? Especially if you've humbled yourself and asked him to do that very thing. Lord, he said, I need you to make me go in this way. You know what David was saying? All right, I'm going to close here. David was saying, he said, Lord, I'm a mess. And I know you're the only one that can lift me up from this. And I've done what I knew I had to do and repent. And he said, God, I've also confessed that I need you to teach me. So next time, I don't go that way. I don't end up in that condition. I need you to teach me. He said, but make me to go in the way. He said, because here's what I'm going to confess about myself, Lord. He said, even if you teach me, I don't always do what I even know to do. That's right. So I'm just going to ask you, Lord, I don't trust myself. I know I shouldn't be that way. But I also know I have a demonstrated past that time and time again, the things I know to do, I don't do. And the things I shouldn't do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? Does that sound familiar? The great Apostle Paul. Does that sound familiar? He wasn't the first one. No, David said, God. He said, not just teach me. No, I'm willing to learn, and in this condition, I'm teachable. I want you to teach me. He said, but the bottom line is this. I don't even trust myself when I know what to do. So God, I'm going to pray a prayer that may cost me more than I could ever comprehend, but I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to mean it. I want you to make me. I don't want to live outside of the fellowship of your will and your spirit. Make me. I don't want to fail my family or my people. Make me. I don't want to fail the testimony of Jesus Christ to a lost soul bound for hell. Make me. Make me do your will. Because I don't trust myself. And he said, I will tell of your wondrous works. What was he saying? He was just saying, I'll give you all the praise. He said, I know I'm asking you to do all the work here, and I'm confessing my inabilities, but also surrendering in my willingness to follow you and to learn and to repent and to do those things to get spiritually where I need to be. But God, I'm just going to be honest. Don't ever turn your head away from me. Because I, just like that sheep, will walk blind as a bat into the mouth of a wolf and not have any clue I was doing it. That's the truth. Spiritually, most of us are still in the kindergarten with God. We hadn't grown very much. A lot of us, because when we suffered, we didn't respond the way David responded. When we spiritually were broken by God, convicted by God, we didn't do what we were supposed to do. Instead, we blame somebody else, or we put it on ourselves to pull up our socks and strap up our boots and get better for God. Listen, you're not going anywhere for God unless he ain't got his hand on you. You don't have any power with God until you've been into the place where you have given up for God. And that's where David was. Come get a song. Vicki, if you would, just come to the piano. We want to give an invitation tonight. I don't know your soul, but I can tell you this. If it's rocked the pulpit, it probably hit the pew too. I need him. And let me be clear. Steve. I don't have all the answers. So if you ever ask me a question, I say, I don't know. I hope you ain't too disappointed, but that's just me. I don't know. There's a bunch I don't know. But I tell you right now, I want to be teachable. I want to be teachable. I want him to be able to work in my life that grows me, that this time next year, I have moved up a grade. Right? Some of you have been failing the third grade for about 10 years now. You need to grow. Let him teach you and then surrender yourself to the hand of God and say, now make me. Make me to go into the way of your precepts. Stand with us. If you're here tonight and need the Lord and you're not in the place where you can talk wondrously of his great and mighty works, spiritually, you're just broke. It'd be a good time for you to cry out to God and say, help me, help me. If you're here, would you come?